Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, sing unto Yahweh a new song. Sing unto Yahweh, all the earth. Sing unto Yahweh, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, all deities. For all the deities of gods of the nations are idols. But Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto Yahweh, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength. Give unto Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness, Kodeshness. Fear him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. When shall all the trees of the wood rejoice? Before Yahweh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Selah, shalom, 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 all praise, all honor, all glory be unto the Most High Yahweh forever and forever and ever. I am Yeremiah ben Yisrael, and you are in the Knowledge Suite every day, every W day on Blog Talk Radio, with the exception, of course, of some F days where we have special editions in the Knowledge Suite. My beloved brothers, my beloved sisters, it gives me, a great deal of pleasure to come before you again in the Knowledge Suite. Just want to acknowledge something real quickly before I get into what we're going to talk about tonight. And in my last segment, the scriptural reference that I gave, you know, concerning our book, I gave you all 1 Kings chapter 4, and that's really 2 Kings chapter 4. So just make a note of that. 2 Kings chapter 4 was where I was referencing where Elisha fed the multitude with the number of loaves of bread and the fish, as so named. Hallelujah. And that would be specifically 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. So make a note of that. That's 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42 through 44. All praise, all honor, all glory be unto the Most High Yahweh forever and forever. Tonight, we're going to talk about something that's out of the news that's quite controversial. However, again, it is another one of those distractions. But we're going to focus in on some things here. I want to let you listen to what's being reported on the news. Of course, you know it has to do with Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, sitting doing the singing of the national anthem. And he made some strong comments. You know, I lost a lot of listeners because I came out and I made some comments about the rag of the United States that they call a flag. And a lot of the listeners during that time did say that that was a lot of disrespect for the rag. I still call it a rag. I don't care if I lose everybody. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to speak out, because those of us who are who were predestined to exist during this time, to come with truth, and not buy into the lies, we're always discredited. So it's a way of life. You know, it's become a way of life. Because why? The wicked watches the just and seeketh to slay him. That's right. Then in the word of Yah, my beloved brothers and sisters. But anyway, this NFL quarterback, let's see, what are the real ramifications behind this move that he made? Is it real? Is it unique? Is it genuine? Is it a political statement, or is it because of what some people are saying that, you know, that the 49ers are getting ready to ditch him anyway? You know, why is he just not coming out with this, so to speak? You know, is it because of that? But then again, we went into some audio bites of some people who have some astounding information concerning Mr. Kaepernick, because, you know, he has a very interesting background. We'll be returning momentarily here to talk about this. Shalom, shalom.
We are going to begin with that heated debate stirred up by Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, refusing to stand for the national anthems of four games, fans protesting his jersey. They're burning it. You see some of that right there. And now he's speaking out to defend his actions. ABC's Ryan Smith is here with the latest. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, George, Amy. Colin Kaepernick is speaking out about his protest. He's not backing down, with fans by the thousands attacking him online for refusing to stand. As you mentioned, some even burning his jersey. The quarterback saying he's, by sitting down, he's standing up for what he thinks needs to change.
Colin, here's my salute to you. Colin Kaepernick under fire from fans and fellow players after his refusal to stand up for the national anthem, doubling down overnight.
I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. When there's significant change and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, I'll stand.
The 49ers drew a great quarterback with the rocket arm and lightning quick feet, staying seated during the national anthem at Friday's preseason game, telling the NFL Network, "I'm not going to stand up and show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color."
I have experienced it. People close to me have experienced it. So it's something that needs to be addressed.
Kaepernick clarifying Sunday that refusing to honor the flag doesn't mean he's disrespecting the military.
People are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody.
The 28-year-old, frequently outspoken on civil rights issues online, seemingly began his protest weeks earlier, sitting during the anthem for the team's previous two preseason games, though few seem to notice. But after Friday's game, outrage, thousands flooding his Twitter page with comments. Giants receiver Victor Cruz saying sitting down isn't the right way to stand up.
You have to stand up there with your team and understand that it's a game, and what's going on around the country is bigger than just you.
While others defending Kaepernick, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban weighing in. He didn't throw a bomb, fire a shot, start a riot, throw a punch. He just sat there quietly. Kaepernick says the vitriol he's now facing is worth it to make a point.
I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I really respect you for what you're doing and what you're standing for.
The NFL telling ABC News in a statement, players are encouraged but not required to stand during the national anthem. But when asked if this will get him cut from the team, the quarterback says he doesn't know, adding that if he's cut, he feels he did what he feels is right, and he can live with that at the end of the day, George.
Okay, Ryan, thanks. Let's bring in ESPN Stephen A. Smith for more on this. And Stephen, you've done a lot on this whole issue of violence. You've had special shows on it as well. What's your take on what Colin is doing?
Well, I understand it, and I respect it. I respectfully disagree with how he went about doing it, because it's certainly not something that I would have done. But at the same time, we also have to understand that the First Amendment to our Constitution is freedom of speech and freedom of expression, and that's one of the things that he exercised here. He wanted to make a point, and as Mark Cuban pointed out, he didn't plant a bomb, he didn't shoot anybody, he didn't do anything. He made a silent protest. He's an unabashed supporter of Black Lives Matter. He addressed the issue of police brutality as an incentive as to why he was taking the position that he took. We understand it, and a lot of people within the Black community, I can tell you for a fact, absolutely agree with him. A lot of people don't agree with how he went about doing it.
Let's get into that. What about the criticism of how he went about doing it? I'm saying it's a distraction from his job.
Well, you could. That's a valid point in some people's eyes, but people take stances all the time. And, you know, if you remember when, you know, Trayvon Martin transpired and other things happened as it pertained to the actions against African-Americans, you had NBA players putting on T-shirts. Some people thought that was a distraction. Obviously, they beg to differ. You see silent protests that have been taking place in recent memory. People who are against the positions that these athletes take will always find an excuse to say that it is a distraction. But what they have to understand understand, particularly when it's emanating from the black community, and in particular a black athlete. The mere fact that it's being debated, or people are questioning whether or not it's a distraction, what you're saying to yourself is it not supposed to be a distraction? We're trying to bring attention to an issue. Colin Kaepernick obviously felt that way, and even though some people would disagree, and they certainly have the right to do so, there are others who would stand by him and say that they don't have a problem with what he's doing whatsoever. What's this going to mean for his job?
Well, it depends. If he can still play, it won't mean much. It'll mean a lot in terms of endorsements. He's definitely going to feel the pinch there. And I think he spoke to the fact that he certainly knows that's coming. But as it pertains to him having a job in the NFL, I don't think this is an issue. I think the fact that he looks a bit subpar, he's coming off a season where he was a bit subpar, only threw 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, had a QBR of about 47. He doesn't look that impressive, and there's rumors as to whether or not he's going to get cut. In the end, if you can play, there will be somebody who will give you a job, because their primary obligation is to try and win football games. If you cannot play, they will find an excuse to get rid of you. It is that simple. This won't determine his future as a quarterback in the NFL. His play will.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith, thanks very much.
Notice the word distraction didn't come up in the midst of all of this hoopla and the fanfare over stuff like this. I mean, if the brother feel compelled, and I'm calling him a brother simply because he has a black father, of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can all can say that I'm a bit prejudiced over this, but I just happen to know the rules of how it works, because the child does get his bloodline from his father. You know, the mother and father both put into it, but the ancient way of viewing things is that if the bloodline of the father, it is the bloodline of the father that determines the child's bloodline and where he come from and his ancestry and all of that. Now, I can't change that right now. That's a universal law. So to those of you all out there, you females and males both, who may get offended about that, I mean, hey, you just need to know that particular thing, because it's even biblical. You go into the book of genealogists, it always give what? The father of, see? So that's Yah's natural way of doing it. You got any problem with it, you need to address him. You need to go to Yah on this matter, because this is not a thing, hallelujah, to be toyed with. But anyway, there's another man who has gone into great detail to bring out some of the reasons why he suspects or think that Colin Kaepernick has done the thing he's done and is feeling the way he's feeling. You notice a lot of the flack he's getting, though, are coming from other blacks. And then, of course, quite naturally, you had the white man burning of the jersey. Yeah, that's to symbolize how they did us back in slavery. In fact, it's been said that Kaepernick has also been called the N-word, been called a nigger, and all type of mean, hateful words by the white people, who are supposedly so upset that he would not stand for the national anthem and to salute the flag of the United States, the United States rag, the red, blue, and white rag that they call a flag, in which many people are falling out with people because of that rag, man. I mean, they are falling out big time. They're like, hey, man, no. You can't do that with the United States rag, which we call a flag, okay? Because they make a big ado about that. But then the people who are insufficient and in the wrong place and wrong position are going to do that anyway. And they're going to watch people like myself and others who speak out very, very much so against such a what? The wickedness and the evil ramifications and the evil things that surround this piece of cloth. I'm telling you, my brothers, my sisters, these Europeans, these white people, hallelujah, who have come over here, stolen, dominated, taken not only from the indigenous people here, but people all over the planet, and then get angry with you if you don't go along with their way of doing things, which is all wicked. Well, you don't go along with them. Oh, man, they label you as an enemy. They label you as a what? They'll charge you with treason, you name it. You know, you're not patriotic. You know, to hell with all that. Because what are we saying in these days and time, in this dispensation of time? We're saying Satan. Sit down. Sit your ass down somewhere. Your kingdom will and must, your kingdom must and will come down, and there's nothing you can do about it but get ready. Hallelujah. Let's check this out. Check this out. The psalmist asks a question, a very serious question, in Psalm 94. O Yahweh Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth, O Elohim, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Proud to be an American, huh? Okay. Yahweh, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Yahweh, and afflict thine heritage. Now, you notice Kaepernick said he's standing up. Most of the black people, and he said people of color. And he went on to talk about how the police viciously and what? Maliciously murder our people. Then they what? They go on leave. That's all it is. They go on leave for a minute. Then they what? They're right back in the same position, back on the street, ready to shoot and kill another person. And this thing that they call justice, according to their definition of justice, which means just us, white people, is not rendered. Because why? In the eyes of the wicked, there is no justice. See? They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, Yahweh shall not see, neither shall the Elohim of Yaakov regard it. Look at this. They're saying that Yahweh is turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to this. Listen, oh, he don't see us. He don't even hear it. He don't care. Come on, let's have a party. Let's shoot and kill these niggas up, and let's do the modern-day lynchings. Yeah. Understand, ye brutish among the people and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Yah is the one that planted the ear. He planted the ear on the side of your face. He made it. Shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Yah formed the eye. He made the eye. Shall he not see what y'all are doing? He that chasteneth the heathen, chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? Hallelujah. Yahweh knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Your thoughts don't mean nothing, because most of them are junk anyway, because all you think of is junk and mess, emptiness, non-worthiness, vanity, meaning zero value, have no worth, have no value, have no substance, have no nothing to them. They're just dry, wicked, evil, no good for nothing thoughts. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Yahweh, and teacheth him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. That's the hell that the wicked are going into, remember? Over there in what? Psalm 9, verse 17, where it tells you what? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget Yahweh, the wicked. How do you turn somebody into hell? You dig the pit, because hell is the pit. It's the hole, it's the ground, it's the grave. Hallelujah. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. All the upright in heart. If you're not upright in heart, you're not going to follow righteousness, no matter how you call yourself trying. If you're just not set up and cut out to do right, you're not going to do it. Come on, stop fooling yourself. You know, you're thrusting at something that you just cannot do. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Yahweh had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Yahweh, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frame is mischief by a law? frameth mischief by a law. What kind of law? A corrupt law. The system of law that they have set up here. They frameth what? Mischief by a law. By their law. Hallelujah. Which is corrupt, which is not the law of the Most High Yah. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But Yahweh is my defense, and my Elohim is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, Yahweh, our Elohim, shall cut them off. The reigning of the wicked is but for a short time, my beloved brothers, my beloved sisters. It shall be only for a short time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. More on the so-called reasons in the life of Kaepernick. What did he go through? Let's listen in.
Freedom Main Radio, I hope you're doing very well. So you probably have been aware that on Friday, August 26th, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick made headlines for his refusal to stand during the national anthem due to the country's treatment of racial minorities. Now, a little bit about his history before we get into the ramifications of this action. So, Kaepernick was put up for adoption by his white biological mother, Heidi Zebranski, now Russo, when he was 6 weeks of age. She, in fact, is a 6-foot-tall now nurse. She played volleyball, basketball, and ran track in high school. Now, Kaepernick's biological maternal grandfather, James Zebranski, said, Heidi's thoughts and feelings at the time were her own, of course, but we thought she would keep him. We don't know why his father has never acknowledged him or why his mother has never said who he is. We've never met the man. We don't even know who he is. The only details that the family knows is that Kaepernick's father was 6'2" tall and black. Now, Colin Kaepernick was adopted by Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white family from Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin, and he's actually 28 years old. Wisconsin back in the day would, I guess, be even whiter, but only 5.7% black population, 1.2% mixed race now, or at least recently, less in the past. His biological mother, Heidi Russo, said, I knew they were the right people immediately. The first thing Teresa did when she met me was give me a hug. They were such giving, wonderful people from the moment I met them. Colin Kaepernick said, I knew I was different to my parents and my older brother and sister. I never felt I was supposed to be white or black either. My parents just wanted to let me be who I needed to be. Colin also said, we used to go on these summer driving vacations and stay at motels. And every year in the lobby of every motel, the same thing always happened. And it only got worse as I got older and taller. It didn't matter how close I stood to my family. Somebody would walk up to me, a real nervous manager, and say, excuse me, is there something I can help you with? Now, that's a challenge. I mean, I really, really understand that. But it's confusing for people outside the family because if the manager assumes that Colin is an adopted son, when he's not, and he ignores Colin, so to speak, since not thinking he's the next person in line, then Colin might say, well, the white people got served and I got ignored, but it's because they thought he was part of the family. If they don't think he's part of the family, they're going to come up and talk to him and ask him how they can help him, and then he maybe feels that he's not considered part of the family. So it's kind of a no-win situation in some ways, or you could interpret the worst of every motive in just about every situation. Colin said, my dad, being a businessman, constantly talked to me about carrying myself in a certain way and treating people with respect. And I think that's something that's carried over throughout my life. It's how I deal with certain situations. So I think it's safe to say Colin is the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers and has a degree in business management from the University of Nevada and was a 4.0 student when he was younger. It's safe to say he's doing pretty well. And, of course, a lot of that, I would assume, has to do with how great his parents seem to be, which we'll get into in a little bit down the road. But looking at Colin's life as a whole, there's only one black person in his history. That's his biological father. who vanished. And later, many years later, when he was an adult, when he got his mother, his biological mother got in touch with him, he said, "I'd like to know more about my biological father." And she reached out to him, left a message or two, and didn't hear anything back. So I would say that the people who've treated Colin the best happened to be white people, and the people who've the person who abandoned him was his biological black father, and that is a challenge. Even his mom, who gave him up for adoption, did something probably quite good for him. If she'd remained a single mother, he would not have had as many resources. He may not have had as much money, almost certainly wouldn't have had as much money to pursue what I assume was some pretty expensive training. So she did a good deed by putting him up for adoption, an unselfish deed. I mean, to let go of a child after 6 weeks must be completely agonizing.
So this white bastard here demonizes the black father but doesn't hold the white mother guilty. She was the one that gave him up for adoption, but that was noble. That was a great thing. That was to help him. But his black father just totally denied him. The man didn't even show up in his life, and that was a bad thing. So he was treated good by the white people, but he was treated bad by the black people in his life. Man, I will play more of it. Hallelujah, we're getting short on time. I want to get one brief comment in on how brothers and sisters are reacting here in the local Atlanta area from a local broadcast called the Dr. Keith Slaughter show. Hallelujah, the movement, as he calls it. Well, I want to listen to what a brother called in and had to say about it. Then we're going to go ahead and close it out, and we'll bid you peace and blessings, and we'll see you again this coming W day, if it be the will of Yah. We'll be right back momentarily. I'm Yeremi Yahu Ben Yisrael, and you are in the Knowledge Suite every M day, every W day on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Colin Kaepernick is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. He has willingly immersed himself into controversy by refusing to stand for the playing of the national anthem in protest of what he deems are wrongdoings against African Americans and minorities in the U.S. Now, no one can argue that things have been out of hand. They've never been in hand, actually. But at this point in time, nobody can argue that things have not gotten out of hand. We have the advent of the cell phone and the camera on the cell phone, which has allowed us to expose for everyone to see some of the brutality that is normally practiced by police, specifically against African Americans and members of the African American community. No one can argue that. However, those who are part of the elite and privileged classes of African Americans have been wont to stand as it relates to protest of the brutality that the masses experience. I guess if you can ride in the limo, you ain't too much worried about getting pulled over and getting jacked by the police. However, Colin Kaepernick has stood up and said, "You know what, enough is enough, and I don't like this, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to protest. I am going to utilize my First Amendment rights." What do you think about Colin Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem? Are you the kind of patriot that believes that it's improper to sit during such a sacred and sanctimonious time?
I will kindly answer that as we close. Hail to the no. I don't stand, I don't pledge no allegiance, and I know this is going out on Blog Talk Radio, going right straight to the government and other officials who are listening in on these programs. Nope, there's no way I can be for a country that has done my people and treated my people and continue to this day to treat my people in a mean and hateful and wicked way, to murder us, kill us, lynch us, to cause us to suffer beyond what any other people on the face of this earth has ever suffered, because this captivity has far exceeded the wickedness of our first cousins, the Mizraimites, known as the Egyptians. Man, we'll see you again, my beloved brothers and sisters, in the Knowledge Suite. Shalom, shalom, shalom.